Welcome to episode 5 of the Owl and Badger podcast. My name is Tim, joined by my good friend Helen, and we look at what's happening in our culture, especially over the last 18 months, things to do with COVID and lockdowns, but not limited to that. And we're two Christians, and we're very keen and focused on applying Christian biblical critical thinking to the issues that affect us. And for this episode 5, we're just going to have a bit of a general chat about where things are at, in between doing our more in-depth, well-researched episodes. So, Helen, how are you doing? How's your week been so far? Given that it's the weekend, obviously, so it's the end of the week. Looking forward to another week.
Yes, well, beginning of half term for us as well.
Oh, so, of course, yeah.
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. I think we were just chatting a minute ago, weren't we, trying to prepare for this, and it feels a bit odd at the moment. Do you think? Do you have that sense? It's kind of like you look outside, you go outside, and things are normal, and then you watch the news, and you think, oh, it doesn't feel very normal. And then you go into a situation where there's lots of other people, like we probably both go into at least once a week, and there's just seeing more and more people in face masks again, which is really sad, actually, isn't it?
It is sad. Yeah, I try not to watch the news too much, so, but I do listen to it and I do read the news. But you're right, going out and about, and I know more people are talking about, oh, well, the doctors are all saying now we need to start wearing masks again.
I know.
Yeah, it's becoming an issue again, isn't it? It feels a bit like it's people's, like a soother for a baby. It's become like a safety net or something. Yes. We need masks. Masks, that will sort it out, won't it? Let's all wear our masks. Keep safe and wear your mask.
It does. It's a con, really, isn't it? So, I mean, I think, to be fair, if you got like a, I know loads of other people have covered this, but if you've got like a regular sort of cloth or, you know, face mask that you see, those blue ones that you have, if you've got one of those on, then if you cough or sneeze, it's going to catch some kind of droplets, isn't it? And that's going to stop those droplets going on somebody else, which is going to be a good thing. But just regular breathing in and out, it does nothing. It's not going to stop any kind of breath that might carry any infection getting out into the room around you. It does feel a really strange thing. And the problem is, if you go into a room or a situation where everybody's wearing masks and you're not, it immediately feels like you're at odds with people. Even though nobody said anything, you immediately feel like an outcast, which is kind of ironic because you're the one that's actually behaving normal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we live in a topsy-turvy world at the moment, isn't it? Where the normal rules of life have been suspended and the crazy, illogical rules have been brought in and people are buying it without actually thinking it through.
Yeah. Well, there was a time, wasn't there, where to cover your face was, I mean, it was just not allowed. So you know, the signs on the forecourts at the garage, you must take your bicycle helmet off so that you can be recognised, so that people can see your face.
Yes.
And you mustn't go into a bank covering your face because they must be able to see your whole face. And that's gone completely out of the window. I think there's a number of reasons why I struggle with this issue. I know lots of people say, oh, well, what harm can it, you know, it's just put a mask on. It's not that difficult. One of the things is I trained in science. So, this whole follow the science thing is just the most awful expression, because what does it mean, follow the science? The science is clear on things like a mask being able to stop a virus. It can't possibly stop a virus unless you've got an extremely sophisticated high level mask, which none of the general public can possibly have access to. So all these masks, even these medical masks that people seem to think they are, they can't stop a virus. Like you said, it could stop big droplets and When you sneeze, the large bits. But if that was all the issue was, then maybe it could help. But it can't. This is an airborne virus that is in the tiniest, tiniest bits of, the droplets that come out from someone who is ill. So that's one issue. And also, it's a really unhygienic thing to be breathing into and handling a mask. And virtually nobody puts a new one on every time. Everybody, you see them pulling them out of their pocket, in and out all the time. That's actually a disease threat. That's really horrible. And this moist thing on your face, that's going to be a right breeding ground for all sorts of things. So
It is, isn't it? And I mean, my hearing is not 100%. So when I'm talking with somebody who's wearing one of these face masks, I have to ask them often to speak up or to repeat what they've said, because it actually makes it significantly harder to actually understand what people are saying. And that's when you take away that, well, that's without even taking into consideration the fact that when you talk, you watch people's lips move, and that aids you understanding what somebody's saying, because you can see how words are formed, and you know how certain words are formed, and that contributes to you understanding a person, when they're speaking to you. So yeah, it's bizarre. I think the thing that gets me the most about it, or not the most, but one of the things that irritates me, shall we say, is people say, "Well, I'm not wearing a mask to protect me, I'm wearing it to protect other people." Well, that's illogical, because what you're essentially saying is, if let's say, Helen, I've got a mask on and you haven't, okay? And I'm saying to you, Helen, look, you need to wear your mask to protect me. And it's and you're not doing, and you really should be. But I've got a mask on. So what I'm basically saying is, when I breathe out, the mask magically stops any nasty particles, any nasty aerosols getting out of the mask, going towards you. But amazingly, it will it kind of will, it won't stop it. It won't stop it coming the other way. So it's like, well, how did we
That
invent this
logic
kind
doesn't
of
work, does it?
one-way cloth where air can kind of not get out, but it can come in? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
No, it's
Does that make
completely
sense? I mean, it's just
ridiculous.
like,
Yes,
yeah, I
completely.
don't understand it. But anyway,
No.
maybe I've missed something there. But
Maybe the magic mask. Honestly, I think if you want to believe in superstition and magic, that's fine. Maybe the mask that maybe it's a thing then. But otherwise, it's just not. It can only then be about a visible sign. Is that what it is? A visible reminder of the threat? Is it about a visible sign to promote fear?
It's
A
yeah.
reminder that everybody is a disease threat. Is it about control, propaganda? It can only be those in that realm, I think.
Yeah, it is a bizarre thing. It is that reminder that we are in supposedly some kind of threatening situation, and clearly, people are getting ill from this. Although statistically, at the moment, from Public Health England, the amount of people contracting COVID-19 for sort of our age group and upwards is twice for the double vaccinated. Twice the number of the double vaccinated are contracting COVID-19 versus the unvaccinated. Now, why that is, I don't know, but that's definitely a trend, an upwards trend from the last few months, on the same stats from Public Health England. And literally, it's double double the amounts. And so that's a bit odd. But yeah, the whole face mask thing is just depressing, because it's so nonsensical, and it's a real affront to what it means to be human, what it means to be somebody made in God's image, what it means to be able to communicate with one another. I was in church recently, which is a good thing, but people now put masks on when they sing and take them off when they're sat down. Now, will say, well, that's because when I was singing, we're exhaling lots more air. But it's like the mask doesn't stop the air coming out.
No.
It might help redirect the air to the person standing next to you, ironically.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop it coming out.
No. When you see these, have you seen people with the coloured, I don't know how they do it, so that when they're breathing out, you can see where the breath is and where it's going.
Yeah.
And they put a face mask on and you can watch it all coming out through the face mask, round the edges, everywhere. And I've seen them putting on two or three face masks and still there it is, all coming out.
It is. And it's, yeah, it, exactly. And I think it's just become something which is actually, the problem is ultimately it's divisive, isn't it? It's a way to sow disunity, because people who are accepting of all the rules and think, well, wearing a mask is a good thing, I wear a mask to protect other people because I'm not being selfish, I'm thinking of others. I mean, it's just a nonsense. But the problem with that mindset is that it essentially breaks people apart. It forces a wedge between people under this false notion that what I'm doing is actually a selfless act, it's helping other people, when it does no such thing. And it's actually very harmful because it causes division, and I think actually it has significant spiritual implications as well, just the virtue
it does.
Covering your face, you know.
I think it really does, and that was the next thing I was going to say, actually, is that the other thing that I find really hard, and I know I'm probably in a minority, but all along, and still I feel it now, absolutely do, every time I see someone in a mask, particularly if they're near me or they're trying to talk to me, I find it stirs up this really strange feeling in me. It's almost like a feeling of anxiety. It doesn't sit well with me. It feels wrong. It feels unnatural, and I don't like it. I really don't like it. In fact, when I'm walking towards people, anyone who's not in a mask, I'm quite a smiley person. I always smile at them. But people in a mask, I deliberately try not to look at them. I don't want to even make eye contact. I find it almost like a threatening experience, someone walking towards me whose face is covered, because I can't see. Are they smiling at me? Are they doing the opposite? I find it really unnerving.
They're probably sticking their tongue out at you.
They probably are, making that mask all nice and extra moist. there's something I came across last Christmas. I printed it off, and I'm glad I did, saved it onto my computer, because it was then taken down. It was a blog post by a very prominent Christian. I don't know whether I should or shouldn't name him. And he wrote this piece at Christmas last year, and I read it and I thought, oh my goodness, you have just explained exactly how I feel. I might read a bit of it out in a second.
Yeah.
And then I went to, I think I sent it to you, and then I went to find it again, and it had gone. So I emailed the blog to say, why is it gone? Why have you taken it down? Got a nothing kind of response. And then I pushed them a bit further and they said, oh no, it's been taken effectively because it caused offense. Because people were who had lost loved ones in the pandemic were offended by it, and they took it down, which I think is very sad.
What were they offended by? Somebody advocating for not wearing a mask?
I'll read out a bit and see what you think. I mean, his language is strong, talking about, in part of it, he's talking about the wearing of masks, but I absolutely agree with him. And I think what he's written has quite a prophetic message. And of course, those kinds of messages always meet opposition, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
And if Christians are just going to, remove everything they write, that may someone might be upset with, then we're not going to be in a good place. I'll just read out this bit. It says, "Into this shaken, reeling world, the kingdom of darkness, hyena-like, seized every opportunity, rushing in with fear, hatred, death, and now desolation." He was talking about the year that had just gone before in 2020. "I don't think we have named what it has been like to go out into our neighborhoods, grocery stores, and communities to find every human face hidden behind a mask. It is eerie beyond telling. Prior to this, masks were only worn by kidnappers and terrorists, and this is what the psyche associates with a masked face. We do not assume warm smiles and playful benevolence behind those coverings. The deep psyche experiences every masked face as a veiled threat, and a world of masked faces as something like an invasion, a conquered people, mass oppression. Add to this the muting effect of the mask, every human voice has been gagged. The soul reels, for to lose the face and voice is to lose the humanity of a person. The Imago Dei, as scripture says, let me see your face, let me hear your voice." That's in Song of Songs. And that we all, with unveiled faces, reflect the glory of the Lord, which is in 2 Corinthians.
Wow. Wow.
And that's spot I thought on, isn't it? That is how I feel. That is why I think it is a big issue.
Yeah, and you're right. And that writer nails it on that one.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Lucy Beresford? I hope I've pronounced her name right. I've not heard of her until this morning, quite honestly.
No, I have no idea who she is.
Psychotherapist, presenter. But she was, I saw her this morning, and she was recently on the Jeremy Vine TV programme, which I don't watch either. I like Jeremy Vine from the point of view of cycling, being pro-cycling, although I think he's a little bit too far on that sometimes. But I'm not sure I like him on anything else. I mean, the guy's kind of, he's on a roll, isn't he, with his pro-vaccine, pro-lockdown, pro-mask wearing, pro-whatever it seems to be, doesn't he?
I think if anyone comes in and speaks anything contrary to his view, they get off, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's certainly not somebody who applies critical thinking to life, it seems, sadly. But anyway, we're not talking about Jeremy Vine, we're talking about Lucy Beresford. And she was appalling, saying basically that we need to start incentivizing those who haven't yet had their first vaccine dose to go and have it. She was...
I think she used the word punishment, didn't she?
Sorry, say it again.
I think she used the word punishment, didn't she?
She did, yeah.
Possibly.
I think she did. I mean, she's certainly talking about taking away people's freedoms and saying, well, actually, you know, we can't, we have to make the, you know, the unvaccinated toe the line.
Well, she was very patronizing, I would say. She used the analogy of children, didn't she, of like children
parents,
who won't eat
like
their
parenting.
Broccoli,
yes.
And so it's like withholding the chocolate in order to force them to eat their broccoli.
Yeah,
and that's what she was saying. So
it was
effectively, if people won't toe the line, then their privileges must be removed until they will toe the line.
Yeah,
I presume that she's thinking that people who make a decision that she doesn't like are stupid, or so it's fine to treat them like that, to coerce them or punish them into complying.
Exactly. I mean, we've gone from, at the beginning of the year, we've gone from the point of vaccinating the elderly and vulnerable, then to vaccinating adults, then to vaccinating all adults, including young people, now to vaccinating children, now then going back to giving booster jabs to the elderly and vulnerable. And of course, it will be booster jabs for everybody who's already had their two jabs, because the jabs don't actually stop you getting COVID. And I don't know what they do, but they certainly don't seem to work very well as a vaccine. It's It's unbelievable to take the view that she takes. And it's this idea that the unvaccinated have to protect the vaccinated. I mean, we live in a sort of a double speak society now, don't we? Where the standard logic and intelligence is no longer applied in the way that we all understand is right. It's
Yeah.
ridiculous.
Well, I think it also shows that the vaccine is just not working because actually, certainly in the vulnerable groups, the percentage who've been vaccinated is extremely high. So,
It is.
if it was effective and doing the job, if they believe that was the case, then they wouldn't be too worried about the few who haven't been vaccinated. But it's relentless, isn't it? The pressure and the
It is. And people, I think we need to be asking the question, why are they doing this? Ivor Cummings asked this question last year, the middle of last year. He said, "Why are governments doing this?" That's a question you need to be asking. Why are they doing this? And that's a really important question. Why are they pushing this so hard? And the stats they rely on now is by pointing to the fact that, and whether it's a fact or not will remain to be seen, but pro-vaccine, so the government essentially want to say, well, actually, those who've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, are vastly reduced chance of hospitalization and death. Well, I think there's a problem there is that nothing can reduce our chance of death. We have all have 100% chance of death unless Jesus comes back first. So that stat is incorrect. But when the vaccines came out, they were touted as being able to vastly reduce transmissibility, vastly reduce your chance of actually getting the disease, and of course reducing hospitalization and death. And now those positives have been reduced simply to not ending up in hospital. So I think that we have to just wait and see what's going to actually come out of all this, and we can only do that by letting time go by, can't we? There's no, you can't rush this stuff.
I think it's
And
partly a smokescreen as well, because as many scientists said all along, this will be a seasonal thing. The SARS-CoV-2 virus is not, it's not going to go away. It
no.
will become part of the seasonal respiratory virus scene. So that means that in these months in the autumn, we will see it on the rise, and that's not a big surprise. But actually, there's also a bit of an obsession with cases, which doesn't really mean anything, does it? Because if you test positive for the virus, it doesn't actually necessarily mean you're ill. But of course, there's lots of testing going on, particularly in schools. So lots of cases, so-called cases, are being found, but that doesn't actually necessarily mean that there are people who are ill, or at all that there are people in hospital. But the issue with hospitals is not so much people ill with COVID, but there's also this huge backlog, isn't there? So hospitals are going to be under pressure inevitably, as they are every winter, this winter,
Yes,
because
yeah,
many
absolutely.
people who've not been treated, who've not come forward, whose illness could have been treated earlier. So there's going to be a problem, isn't there?
I think sadly that seems to be the case, and certainly, we go back, well, as many years as we can remember, and there's always a winter pressure on the NHS every single winter. Some years are worse than others, particularly around things like flu. Some years won't be as bad, but they tend to be pretty awful. But I think again, Ivor Cummings highlighted this last year. We're in a case-demic. You test lots and lots of people, and you'll find lots and lots of cases. And you're testing people with these incredibly fraudulent, it would seem, tests, whether that's lateral flow or the PCR test that's run such high cycles. It's not meant to be used in that way for that purpose. And so, therefore, if that's telling you've got lots of cases, then suddenly you've got lots of cases. I mean, I'd love to know whether the lateral flow test would, if you've got a cold and you take a lateral flow test, whether it will say you're positive or not, I have no idea. I've not got a cold, so I can't try one. I've got enough of them in my cupboard to give it a go. But it is crazy the amount of people that are saying, well, I've had lateral flow tests, I've had PCR tests, it's come out positive, I've got COVID. My question is always, are you feeling unwell? Because that's the number one thing. Are you feeling unwell? If you are feeling unwell, I hope you get better soon. Pray that you'll get better soon. That's important. We want people to get well. We want people to be well. We want to support one another in this. But I do question the kind of willingness that we have to be branded as a COVID case. It feels very wrong.
I think it would help, for what it's worth, if we went back to the age-old principle of, if you're unwell, stay at home until you're better.
Yes.
And I used to say this years ago. It used to annoy me when I was working. If people came in who just looked like death warmed up with their nose streaming, coughing all over the place, or who will tell at all and sundry they were vomiting last night, it's like, go home.
Yes.
I don't want to be near you. So likewise, children, you know, I don't want to hear that Johnny threw up last night and has been sitting next to my child in school. You know, it's just common courtesy to stay away from people when you're ill and, you know, resurface when you're better. And I'm sure if we all did that, it would be fine.
I think that's very true. And that's a very simple way to show, you know, love and consideration for one another, which, to be honest, is what we were doing before all this nonsense blew up a year and a half ago. So I guess it is easy to point the finger. It's easy to say, look, people, governments or authorities have got this wrong, that wrong. As Christians, what do you think we should be encouraging one another to do? Because I think one of the things we need to encourage one another to do is to demonstrate actually some faith and trust in God and give God some room to move. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like we're making lots of decisions in the name of God, but I'm not so sure they're the decisions he would have us actually take in his name. For example, you know, keeping away from one another, putting masks on or not singing in church or baptizing, or these are all examples that have happened over the last 18 months, not taking the Lord's Supper. You could pick a whole range of things, couldn't you? But I'm not so sure that's God's will for us. So there must be, if it isn't, there must be another way. There must be another thing we should be doing instead that is pleasing to God.
And we should be talking about that and we should be discussing that. Whereas I think what I found frustrating is that there's been I've seen very little of that in the church and amongst Christians. Just seems to have been a blind, just follow the rules, don't question, just do as you're told. And I think that's quite dangerous, really.
I think it is. And again, this comes back to what we're trying to do in this podcast and hopefully learning slowly to do better is to encourage one another to think critically, to apply what the Bible says in a way that is helpful and right and actually honouring to God. Because it is very easy to have a theology which sounds right but is actually just a rehashed version of how the world lives. In other words, it's very easy to live out a so-called Christian life that ultimately just wants people to be nice to one another. Now it's important we are caring to one another, of course it is, but we also have to say, hold on, what would God have us do? What's honoring to God? And more often than not, we will find that what is honoring to God is actually countercultural.
And not the easy path.
Not the easy path. That's what Jesus tells us. That's what's throughout the whole Bible from beginning to end. It's the narrative of the whole book. And as Christians, we forget this at our peril. And it is a narrow path, isn't it? It's that narrow path which we have to kind of stick to.
Yeah. So, and to think there are Christians in this world, many persecuted for their faith, who risk everything, who risk their lives to meet together and do what they believe is right, which is to meet together as Christians to worship God. And yet we have been willing in the West to just abandon that, to just go, oh, no, we're told not to because of a virus. No, so we won't. That's fine. We'll all keep apart and we'll all.
Yeah. And it's not, I don't think that's honouring to God. And like we were saying just a few minutes ago, it's not where you're going, you know, you've got a streaming cold or you're vomiting, you should go and share that with your brothers and sisters at church.
No.
I mean, you have to, I think we have to assume that people listening to this are intelligent enough to work out the nuances of just general good life principles in how people treat one another. If you haven't worked that out, Helen and me are probably not the best people for you to listen to right at this time. But it is important that we do consider actually what would God have us do. And I think we're just used to putting our faith and trust in medicine, aren't we? For our health, and much medicine can be, well, some medicines can be a very good thing, and there's lots of good things that have come out over the last 100 years or so that have contributed massively to us being able to live better, which is a good thing to give thanks for. But if we have our faith solely in that, that's not a good thing. That I don't think is ultimately honouring to God, and perhaps we become a little a little forgetful of actually what it means to have faith in God and to trust Him with our lives. Easy to say, but we do have to spur one another on in this. Should we stop there? I just got. I don't know how long we're supposed to do these for, Helen. We need a clock.
No, we do need a clock. I was just thinking, I wonder how long. We're meant to be doing the short one, so.
The short one, yes. Yeah, it's not.
Probably enough, isn't it?
I love this. I saw this today. It says China reported 50, that's 50, new confirmed coronavirus cases on Saturday, compared with 43 on Friday, according to the country's health authority. And in case you don't know, China has a population of around 1.4 billion people. So there we go. If you want to see how either China's telling us porky pies or China's telling us the truth, it's one or the other. And if China's telling us the truth, then, wow, they must be doing something amazing, because...
That's why we're following the example of China, isn't it? Do everything China do and all will be well.
It seems that way, doesn't it? But then we do live in this topsy-turvy world of kind of Orwellian doublespeak, where things are not quite what they seem, and if we see something as normal 2 years ago, that's now clearly abnormal. But anyway, yeah. But at least we know that God is in control. And
He is, and He doesn't change.
He doesn't change, that's right. He doesn't change. And that's a good thing to end on, isn't it? The fact that God doesn't change. Cool. Right. Well, maybe we'll come back with a longer. I'm not sure, is that an incentive, Helen? A longer podcast next time.
Let's get all our listeners excited.
Yeah.
It'll be a long one next.
A more focused podcast next time around. But anyway, cool. Well, look, see you next time.
Yeah. See you next time.
Badger.